Welcome, friends. Dr. Veer Vadala here.
And I'm Dr. Krishna Vadala.
And we are the Vadala Bros. Welcome to Season 2 of our podcast, Vital Visions, where we delve into all things vital, empowering our community, one health topic at a time.
Absolutely. And to our returning listeners, it's fantastic to have you back. And to our new listeners, buckle up, because in this podcast, we explore emerging medical research, the latest in technology, and crucial healthcare topics that resonate with our community here at Norman Regional. Plus, we also sprinkle in some health and wellness tips for good measure.
That's the spirit. In each episode, we're also joined by incredible guests, from medical professionals to local community leaders, and even some of our friendly neighbors. Together, we tackle various issues affecting our community.
So whether you're a health enthusiast or just looking to stay informed about healthy living trends, consider this podcast to be your ultimate go-to resource.
So join us as we navigate the journey to healthier lives and explore the latest trends in well-being. Welcome to Vital Visions, where health meets community. Welcome back, folks. Dr. Veer Vadala again here, joined by my co-host,
Dr. Krishna Vadala.
And we are the Vadala Brothers. Thank you again for joining us on yet another episode of Vital Visions Podcast, where we discuss all things vital, empowering our community, one topic at a time. Krishna, we got a really big treat today.
We did.
Such an important topic that I don't think a lot of people know about, and that is amniotic fluid embolism. Amniotic fluid embolism, or AFE, is a rare but serious medical condition that can occur during childbirth. It happens when amniotic fluid fetal cells or debris enter the mother's bloodstream, triggering a severe allergic-like reaction that can lead to heart and lung failure. Often patients and families affected by amniotic fluid embolisms may not have anywhere to turn, ask questions, or get information or support. But the AFE Foundation was created to fill that void. And with us today are members of the AFE Foundation and advocates for AFE, Ms. Lacey Heidel and Ms. Leanne Stevens. Krishna, can you introduce our guests?
Yes, of course. And to all of our listeners today, we're thrilled to have two amazing guests today. First off, Ms. Lacey Heidel, a nurse within the OB ED and also in the labor delivery and recovery unit. And also Ms. Leanne Stevens, who is with the infection prevention department. Thank you so much for being here and for answering all of our questions today. Would you guys mind introducing yourselves?
My name is Lacey Heidel. I have been with the Norman Regional Health System on the Labor Delivery and Recovery Unit and OBED for 3.5 years. Prior to that, I was a science teacher for one of our middle schools in Norman. For 7 years, I got super inspired by one of my nurses for my daughter, Stevie, and literally just decided to go back to school. And that's what I wanted to do, labor and delivery, be a cheerleader.
My name is Leanne Stevens, and I've been a registered nurse for 34 years. Most of my background has been in ambulatory care, outpatient surgery setting, and I've been at Norman Regional Hospital for a total of about 12 years through that 34-year span. I've done infection prevention, employee health, performance improvement, but my current role is infection prevention. And I'm here today because you're probably wondering how come someone from infection prevention is in this AFE podcast, and my daughter had experienced an AFE.
Well, thank you so much for being here, both of you. And so with that said, why don't we go ahead and get started? What are some of the symptoms of AFE, and how quickly does AFE usually develop?
Well, the most common signs and symptoms of an AFE would be confusion, agitation, an impending sense of doom. Sometimes they even say, I think I'm going to die. They just feel like something's not right. And then, of course, the cardiopulmonary collapse.
Yeah. And usually within the first couple of hours of labors, whenever you start to see them.
Yeah. A lot of the times it's within 30 minutes of either the delivery of the placenta or the water breaking. So.
Wow. Ms. Lacey, thank you so much for explaining to our audience about those signs and symptoms of AFE. It sounds like a very scary experience, and we can't even begin to imagine what those mothers must have gone through. Ms. Leanne already shared. Thank you, Ms. Leanne, for sharing about your daughter. We would like to know more about your story and how you both got involved with the AFE Foundation and what were your motivators?
Leanne's daughter, JC, was my patient. I was still in orientation, and she was one of my first patients, kind of where I take the lead. So 3 months in to my nursing career.
Wow.
and she was an induction and got all the steps done and broke water, and then there it went from there. But I was her nurse.
And so you guys have known each other since and have been pretty close since.
Yeah, we've developed a bond.
We sure have.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Been
very hard. And then how did you get involved with the AFE Foundation? I understand it's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think with having a nursing background too, I knew that once I heard about what it was, mm-hmm. Just automatically got on the internet, started looking, what is mm-hmm. this? At first, when I heard the word embolism, I thought that she had a pulmonary embolism.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I've been a nurse for a long time, I've never heard of an AFE,
mm-hmm.
Which I would have never been in maternal nursing either. But, mm-hmm. you know, you learn the other serious complications mm-hmm. of birth. But I just started reading about it, and then I eventually contacted the foundation. Uh-huh. And then they called me back, and we had a very long conversation. And then from there, it's been just mm-hmm. a continued relationship.
Yeah.
Whenever the AFE happened, at some point, one of our administrators said, this is an AFE. And after the fact, after everything was, when everything happened, our management contacted the AFE Foundation. So Miranda Claussen, who's the founder of that, contacted me personally, and we were able to Zoom, and then I've just been involved ever since.
Yeah. So you kind of had like a debriefing session.
With her, yes.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been some experience. I'm family medicine trained, so part of our training, we had to do OB.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for that, we do a crisis center training called mm-hmm. ALSO. So it's advanced obstetrics life support.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
If I didn't do that course and they didn't talk about AFE, I wouldn't have never heard about it, right? It's mm-hmm. not something that we discuss in medical school very often. And so,
well, even in nursing school,
yeah.
They maybe said, this is a complication.
Next page.
Yep.
Let's talk about preeclampsia.
Or gestational diabetes.
Yeah, whatever.
And I've been through 4 years of medical school and I haven't seen any AFE mm-hmm. at all.
That's
so
what they said.
It's so uncommon and so rare that we don't really even think about mm-hmm. it unless it's one of these unfortunate circumstances. And so it's something that we all really need to keep in mind if that unfortunate situation ever arises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
And thank you guys for being that pillar of support for patients when they need it and moving this topic forward and getting people to know about it. So I think we can move on and ask more questions. What are some risk factors for AFE that maybe during pregnancy, or is there any that you guys can think
There's
of?
Really not. There's really not any risk factors. And it's not recommended to change any type of OB care.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot of awareness for moms. I think it's especially new moms. New moms don't know what to expect. They don't know what's normal, abnormal in the birthing experience or how they'll react. To say, hey, this isn't right. This isn't like my first one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no way to predict. And a lot of it is education
mm-hmm.
for clinicians, making patients aware of this complication
mm-hmm.
and to speak up.
Yeah.
There's not any risk factors. It's so under-researched, and that's where the foundation comes in. They're really trying to get that out there, and that's also why we're raising awareness.
Mm-hmm.
JC, her daughter, has been able to provide so much for the foundation, and things are moving forward in tremendous ways. They're finding out new things, and so Yeah. There was more research.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe figure out reasons behind it. Sure. Yeah. It's just important. Mm-hmm.
There's a repository that you can send specimens to for AFE research and be part of that. And when an AFE happens and one is suspected, it's really would be so helpful if they could put back some blood. Mm-hmm. They don't have to stop and delay any kind of treatment. Just have that blood off the side before any blood transfusions are given.
Red and top, that way, purple top.
And that way that can be released possibly later on for investigation on what.
Yeah.
So that kind of leads into one of the questions that we had was about diagnosing AFE, but I'm assuming that's the blood, you know, leaving it on the side is the...
Well, there's actually no diagnosis. It's undiagnosed and treatable. Like, it was exclusive.
Yes, it's diagnosed by exclusion.
Diagnosis of exclusion.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But they're hoping, you know, if there's anything in the blood, because it's really hard to get blood samples for participation for pregnant women. Who wants to go through a study like that when they're pregnant? So just anything they could pick up in those blood samples, they would like to, just right before the event or as the event is happening, but before blood transfusions started.
Yeah.
And, so and like, then tissue samples, like there was cells in her lung tissue that, you know, show that it was fetal cells, but it's not uncommon to have fetal cells in mom's bloodstream. Yeah. It was the reaction that the mother has that is so severe, anaphylactic, that there's just no going back.
Yeah. And kind of like looking into that emergency situation that most people won't expect or experience, right? Can you kind of walk us through how treatment's done then? So I, you know, looking into our training, you know, there's a risk for DIC or bleeding, and then there's respiratory and cardiovascular risk, right? So how does delivery of the baby happen and things like that? Who wouldn't mind walking us through that for our listeners?
Well, in our situation, we had the respiratory arrest followed by the cardiac arrest. By God's grace, anesthesia just happened to be in the room. In the room. We were just about to get an epidural.
Right.
And so she was able to get that airway quick and push that code blue button. But really, as far as treatment, you're kind of playing catch up. Chasing your tail, basically. Getting an airway is most important first, and then we'll do the compressions. You must do the left lateral uterine displacement.
So it's resuscitation, basically.
And then, and then you do a perimortem or postmortem C-section, and it's very important wherever they have the cardiac arrest, that's where you do the C-section. All you need is a scalpel.
I guess I haven't had that experience, luckily, in my training, and we can't thank our providers and nurses and staff and everybody involved in there enough, because they are so well trained at what they do. It's a moving wheel, right?
Well, we were lucky to have an OBGYN nearby whenever the code was called, and she came in and she recognized exactly what need to be done. And that's not always the case. I'm in a support group with other moms. I know that they don't always get that baby out quick. And there's a lot of issues that can happen from that. So she was, I think he was out under 5 minutes or maybe three.
It was at 5 minutes. So from water break to I have the timestamps. that's how I process and how I cope.
Yeah, maybe talking to that, like the risk of the hypoxic injury to baby. I think it's a great segue into talking about what are the complications post-event for mom and baby, right? And we read about this and we know that the mortality rate's like 20%.
Well, anywhere from 20 to 60. Just depends, you know.
It depends on how severe the reaction to that.
Sometimes you're at your house. Sometimes you're in the hospital, you know.
Yeah, could you guys talk about mom and baby a little bit?
Norman Regional Health System is hiring. We'd love for you to join our team of employees who we call healers. We offer brand new and updated facilities, a culture of kindness that is team-focused, clinical excellence with accredited centers of excellence, and many more benefits. Please visit careers.normanregional.com to see all of our open positions.
There's actually a support group for AFE has for moms that have had complications afterwards. Some of them, they were in a vegetative state and then taken off support. Others have so many like hypoxic injuries, a kidney failure, stents put in. Others, one I think, lost their leg because of the circulation. It can be they're left with a lot of mental anguish too because trauma from birthing trauma,
PTSD.
Well, I mean, your baby's birthday is this day.
And then sometimes the babies go to NICU, right?
Always.
They go.
Monitoring them from hypoxic brain injury and returning to mom. So that's got to be hard as it is.
I know we talked about, it's a little bit, because of how uncommon it is, it's very difficult to recognize it. But other than recognizing the symptoms and acting quickly, is there anything else that could be done to prevent AFE by any chance?
I mean, I wouldn't say prevent. I would say be prepared for. The AFE Foundation just put out an AFE simulation toolkit. A couple of ladies will come around and do this with you, and they're trying to get it out all over. They also have an AFE course that you can take. I just finished taking it. It was amazing.
That's great.
Amazing. I'm actually going to be telling my unit, like, let's all just powwow and do it. It's 3 hours, self-paced. It's amazing for anybody, nurses, respiratory, whoever. But I think practice and then the communication and the research.
And that course is offered by the AFE Foundation.
Okay.
Wow.
That's one thing with, I'm the AFE state liaison. So that's one thing I'll be going to all the OB, the labor and delivery departments, either contacting them by a Zoom call or actually going to their hospital and giving the information that Lacey's talking about. And just in case if anyone's listening and wants to go to that site, it's amnioticfluidembolism.org. So it takes you to that page where you can enter information in and get you'll get three free CNEs. And then you'll take that course. I have not taken that course yet either.
I just haven't done
it yet. And then from there, you can also do the simulation toolkit. And it's only been out for like 3 weeks. So it's just really getting started. And but every labor and delivery unit will have information about it and can access that. And it's free.
And it's free. That's
and
nice.
Our unit does do a simulation. It's not obviously like theirs. I got to meet them, those that started that at the A1 conference in New Orleans. And it was really cool. They get it sometimes whenever we do simulations, like we'll play the doctor. And I'm like, I don't know what they're gonna want, you know. The doctor comes, the CRNA comes, respiratory comes, everybody comes to the simulation. So it's not just like nurses playing roles and wearing a badge and that's who you are that day, you know? So I think that's super important to know your role, what your role is going to be. And that's a big part of that simulation. So
is it, is there some, interactive piece to it too? Like a simulation, like, where
like a simulation or,
well, yeah, but like a video, like animated simulation aspects to it too?
They show video. And then they have like a mannequin.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Where you can do the left.
The deviation. That's really cool. I guess another thing is you guys mentioned research. And have you heard of any new advances or new upcoming findings for AFE through that the foundation's putting through or things you're excited about?
Well, I know that the tissue specimens, they're being there's a project they're doing with that. I haven't heard the latest on how that's advancing, but that makes a huge difference for to get those tissues to look at.
So one of the very exciting news is that our OBED here in Norman Regional has been, recognized as the first official OBED, number first time in the nation. And so I was just wondering if you guys could share kind of your experience with our OBED and how you guys feel about being nationally recognized.
Well, JC actually had an experience with the OBED. She came in a couple of days before she had her son, and just some minor things that she's like, I said, hey, go. I mean, that's what it's there for. And I feel like that was a really big plus to have that OBED for JC to decide to come to Norman Regional Hospital. Mm-hmm. It was a big plus for me to back that up too. And I felt more reassured that they were more prepared. I wouldn't say more prepared, but they had the staff physician there to recognize those emergencies.
The difference between triage and an OBED. Triage, the nurse does all of the questions and all of that, and then calls the doctor. With our OBED, we have someone here 24 hours. Hmm. And they're actually on the unit. They have a call room dedicated to themselves. It's right there. They're easily accessible. And that's who accompanied that other physician who was in the unit, was our OBED hospitalist. So super, super proud of our certification. And now we can be a blueprint for the rest of the nation.
Just to highlight, what did the certification entail?
We had to hit certain marks like treating blood pressure, uh-huh. severe blood pressures, the betamethasone steroid injections, time from in to when the doctor sees them, and then same with like when orders are in and then labs are read. Just a bunch of different check marks that we had to meet.
That's amazing. So, wow. So the betamethasone steroid injections, I guess, are for the lung maturement of the babies and their prenatal care, preterm care. And so that is quite an achievement. Mm-hmm. We're very proud of Norman Regional to be able to say that, hey, we are Center of Excellence.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we were the first to be certified in perinatal care as well.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's great. I mean, to be the first in the nation, that means a lot. That means the whole different significance. And so that's excellent.
Yeah, I live back there in OBED, so that's my little home.
So you primarily work in the ED right now?
Yeah, two of my shifts are over there, and then one is on the floor. So.
Gotcha.
So just one of the things that we like doing with this podcast is for anybody that's interested in getting involved in healthcare, is just to kind of see if you guys can give any kind of word of advice for people that want to be involved in your respective fields in infection prevention and also in OB, specifically OBED. So any words of advice for people that want to get involved in such fields?
I remember a specific question in my interview. How do you do in high stress situations? And I remember my response being so like, oh, I'm great. You know, not knowing like what those high risk, you know, not knowing that could be one of those. I would say that it's not always happy times. It's not always crying babies. It's time management, patient care, quick. Healthy mom, healthy baby. Mm-hmm. So.
Miss Lynn?
Well, with me being in infection prevention, it's like there's never a dull moment. It's a wide variety. You never get bored with what you're doing. And, mm-hmm. and just something I enjoy doing.
Well, thank you guys for both joining us today. We love to have you, and it's such an important topic. Before we end the show, we always ask if our guests have any messages they want to give to our listeners. Any of you guys have anything else to say?
So if you have any more questions about AFE, go to the website. It's a very good website.
AFESupport.org. You'll see my beautiful face on the front page,
the front page?
With my story from my perspective. Well, and that's little plug-in.
I've been so with Lacey. I mean, Lacey could have just kind of just sunk under a rock and just not want to face any of it. But she took it, and she's done some great things with it. Mm-hmm. And that really honors my daughter.
Amazing. Well, guys, this has been another episode of Vital Visions Podcast discussing such an important topic of amniotic fluid embolism. And for more information, please reach out to the website, amniotic fluid embolism.org and afpsupport.org. And from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for joining us today. And as always, stay classy
and stay out of trouble.
Vital Visions, the Vidala Brothers Podcast, is a Norman Regional Health System podcast. Hosted by Krishna Vidala, MD, MPH, and Raghavir Vidala, MD, FAAFP. Senior producer and editor is Jim Goldsberry. Co-producer is Emily Ehlinger. Research is by Krishna Vidala, Raghavir Vidala, and Emily Ehlinger. Support is from Integrated Marketing and Norman Regional Health System. Email us your questions to vitalvisionspodcast@nrh-ok.com.